former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. Pritch, of course, played nearly a decade in the NFL, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and also a national champion for the Colorado Buffs back in the early 90s, hanging out here on this Friday morning at the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up in 30 minutes, Ben Brown, betting and data analyst at Pro Football Focus, will join us here in 30 minutes to talk about some season-long props, also some regular season win totals. But joining us right now in his usual spot here on a Friday, it's the one and only Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, hope all is well. And we want to get to this right off of the bat here because I thought it was really interesting. And I want to hear from an odds maker what it's like when you see the Joe Burrow news come across our Twitter timelines yesterday afternoon. Initially, it's carted off. And then we see the video, and then shortly after there, and it's like, okay, it's just a calf strain. I feel like in those 30 to 45 minutes, it was a whirlwind. As is Burrow out for the season? Is it nothing? What's going on behind the scenes for you guys, and how do you kind of approach handling the odds and what gets affected when a player as impactful as Burrow is uncertain?
Yep. It's a great question, guys, and good to be with you. And while you don't want to overreact, you do want to get the facts right. And so initially what we did was take everything down. What does that mean? All futures, obviously, especially, and you kind of go in a sequence, right? So I always prefer in a situation like that where a key player, especially a quarterback, starting quarterback, you start with the division, right? Because there's only, you know, obviously in this case, you're looking at the Bengals, who were the favorites for the division at 6-5, and then you had you're holding up on the division, then you're holding up on week one game where they were 2.5-point favorites at Cleveland. So then you move into regular season wins, you hold up on them, you hold up on playoffs, yes or no. And by the way, regular season wins at 11.5, obviously, depending on Joe Burrow's situation. What does that mean? How does that impact it? And then you go to the Super Bowl and the conference and the Super Bowl futures. Now, conference and Super Bowl futures are back up. Everything else I mentioned, though, is still off because there's such an impact on it, right? Are the Bengals still the favorite for the division? Obviously, probably not, right? I mean, the Browns, there's a lot of support for the Browns. They were 3-2. The Ravens, actually, at 5-2. And the Steelers, a very competitive division. Steelers at 5-1. Are the Bengals a favorite in week one at Cleveland? No, there's no way. They're going to be an underdog without Joe Burrow. The regular season wins get adjusted depending on if he's going to miss any games at all and how many games. Those are the things that we do right now. But what's back up, guys, is are the conference futures and the Super Bowl futures, but everything else is on hold right now. I think what's a little concerning for us, or for me personally, when I'm looking at it is, you know, when I hear that all indications are it's not that serious, well, if it's not that serious, what does that mean? Like, right, they still haven't made a determination. You hope it, you know, for the sake, you know, you never want to see a player get hurt. You want to see teams at full strength. And you want the betting public to know what the situation is as well, right? So based on all those factors right now, or the fact that the fact that we don't have a lot of information, that's what we did. It's a timeout, basically, and then you start filtering back in as information comes out.
You know, Vinny, information is so key, as we know, and it's fascinating to me that it's different. Like, for instance, from an odds maker, and now, you know, from a betting standpoint for myself and certainly as a player, understanding that the access that the media has right now is vital, right? It's everything. Like, during the regular season, sure, we're not going to see a video like that if that goes down for Joe Burrow, because the media is gone after the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we all know the injury reports when they are released and when they come out, and okay, you guys have to adjust that way. I guess my question is there more an advantage right now for bettors with the information stream, or does it become more of an advantage for oddsmakers during a regular season when we don't get those reports until Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah, good. Well, you know, you, the key word in your whole, you know, question there, Pritch, is that, you know, transparency, right? What mm-hmm. what's available? What information is available? Personally, I want everybody to have the same information,
right?
And until we do, that's why we hold up on these things, right? I think when there's so much attention being given right now, especially, right, because camp's just opened and everybody's clamoring for football and everybody's excited about for football and everything. During the course of the season, too, it's very predictable, right? You as a former player know that it's very structured in terms of what transpires on every day of the week. And I think that the media gets, you know, that they're in that rhythm as well. So what transpires on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and everything. And then the NFL especially has their procedure to get all that information out, particularly on injury reports on, you know, by Friday. So everybody's looking for information, and until you have the information to make a sound decision, then that's why, in our case, we've got to hold up on these things. Yeah. Now, there are people out there right now looking for, trying to get an official, or even if they feel they have pretty good, quote-unquote, inside information on Joe Burrow's condition, they're looking to see who's got these props that I'm talking about up right now. Right. So, you know, and then at that point, you make a determination. But for us right now, you know, it's a safeguard, again, to know what his condition is, and such a key player. And again, I want to know, and I want you as bettors to know, so that everybody can make the decisions that that they want with the same information.
Yeah, and on that, just a quick follow-up. I mean, you know, the knowledge of that mm-hmm. player too. For instance, as an oddsmaker, this was a regular season. I mean, Burrow's going to play. I mean, I don't know if you guys are interpreting it that way too, as opposed to this being preseason, and they might shut him down now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more conservative, I think, right now, mm-hmm. Pritch, yeah, to your point, and you're, but I think during the regular season you're going to have a lot more, probably a lot more information and a lot quicker information. And I'm just a little surprised that here we are almost 24 hours later, and really there's been nothing said. Now, I don't know, you know, you can only speculate and read into it. Well, it's not that serious. Well, yeah, but it was non-contact too, right? We've seen some pretty significant non-contact injury results in recent years. So, again, that safeguard is simply to say, look, let's take that time out until we really know. And if he's going to be out just for a few weeks, we know he wasn't going to play in the first exhibition game, probably, in all likelihood, right? So you kind of knew that already. But until you know the extent of his injury, then you just have to hold up on these other things because, again, is he going to be back? I would sit here and say, yeah, I would hope that he's back for week one. But if he's not, as I mentioned earlier, the ripple effect of that impacts so many prices, not only for the Bengals, but for especially the teams in their division when it comes to the division futures.
Yeah, the entire AFC almost. You can even talk about Kansas City's prices, Buffalo's prices, all those teams that are up there with the contenders. Sure. We're talking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Well, Vinny, we talked about information markets. How about Major League Baseball? The trade deadline's coming up next Monday, August 1st. And we got the information earlier this week that Shohei Ohtani is now been taken off the market. He will not be traded by the Los Angeles Angels. In fact, the Angels are going to be buyers at the trade deadline to try to make a push for the postseason, right now being three games back in the AL wildcard. Have you started to see an influx of Angels money? Maybe people taking some long shots at the Angels to maybe win the pennant or even win the World Series, given that the Angels, the proximity to Las Vegas is not very far.
Yeah, certainly, Femi. That, you know, the Angels now, it's certain, right? So if they are going to be buyers, but the other part of that too is, right, they need Mike Trout too, right, guys? Let's face it. I mean, you know, that's such a key component for them. But the fact that Shohei Ohtani is staying put, and you look at the impact of him. Look at yesterday's doubleheader. Just to get an idea, he throws a one-hit shutout in the first game and then hits two home runs in the second game. So 18-1 on the Angels now. I think we'll start to see some money on them, and we're going to have to make some adjustments again on other teams, right, who Now we have to start identifying who the sellers are, right? I think it's going to surprise some folks that the Padres are sellers, it looks like, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly the Mets. The Mets already moved Robertson yesterday to the Marlins. You know, the Marlins, guys, the Marlins are buyers. I mean, there you go. What's happening? You talk about climate change. But, you have to pay attention to and try to handicap, but also look at the rest of the roster. Again, when getting back to the Angels, the Trout situation is extremely impactful, right? When you think about it, and the condition of him, because it's not going to be enough just to say, okay, Shohei Ohtani is staying put. Who do they pick up? And they need pitching. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. Because they can score runs, but I think it's providing more stability, especially for the AL pennant.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be an interesting trade deadline, August 1st. Vinny, we got about 20 seconds left. What's going to have the bigger handle? Is it going to be the Spence Crawford fight or UFC 291?
I think the Spence Crawford fight, especially because it's here and it's anticipated. So, by the way, Crawford is a 3-2 favorite, and the over and under is 10.5, almost 2-1. So, but I think because it's here, and we can always anticipate, add 20-25% more handle. So, I think that is going to really be a little bit more than UFC this week.
Yeah, that'll be a fun fight coming up tomorrow night at T-Mobile Arena. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. He joins us every Friday. On the other side, oh hell yeah, oh hell nah, coming at you next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circuit Resort and Casino. We thank Vinny Maiulo for joining us last segment. Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Great stuff on trying to time the market with these information bets and just from an odds maker's perspective, what they go through and trying to see what's going on. They really have to take stuff down and wait for information. I thought it was a really fun segment there with Vinny. If you missed it, make sure you check it out in podcast form over at the Lombardi Line where you can subscribe, rate, and review. Coming up, though, in 15 minutes, Ben Brown, betting and data analyst at Pro Football Focus, will talk about some season-long props and also some regular season win totals that he does like. A couple teams in the DMV, both the Ravens and the Commanders, he has win total props on both of them. We'll get into that here coming up just shortly. But right now, Pritch, it is a segment that everyone has been waiting all week for. Critics give it 2 thumbs up. Mm. Eber and Roper, I think one of them is actually dead now. RIP to one of them. But it is critically
acclaimed.
That's how
good it is.
That's how good it is. Folks, way back when, they are risen and have said that the segment is critically acclaimed. Oh, hell yeah, or oh, hell nah, coming at you here on a Lombardi Line on a Friday. And the first one is near and dear to your heart. And this has to do with conference realignment because the Colorado Buffaloes went ahead and threw a curveball at the Conference of Champions a couple days ago. Colorado has voted to move from the Pac-12 to the Big 12 starting next season. And I'll ask you this, Pritch. The Colorado Buffaloes will win a Big 12 championship within 5 years of returning to the conference. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for you to finish the question. I didn't want to because I wanted to jump in there. Yes, yes, yes. That's what Coach Prime is there to do, right? Mm. And I think when you look at what's going on now, Colorado going back to the Big 12, back to the roots, the old Big 8 too, if you think about it. But who's leaving the Big 12? Texas and OU. Who's going to win the state of Texas in recruiting now when it comes to competing in the Big 12? You don't have to compete against OU. Those athletes are different, right? OU and Texas, they certainly want some athletes for the SEC. And I think the remaining folks, if you're looking at TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor, Houston, even BYU and all these other schools. I mean, if you're looking at that, Coach Prime in his backyard right outside of Fort Worth, he has a residence there. That's where he lives. He's going to win the state of Texas in recruiting. We couldn't win California. You know, SC, UCLA, all these other schools, we couldn't win. We couldn't penetrate the way that we used to because of the track record. But with this guy, Coach Prime, leading the way now, and the way that he recruits, the athletes that he wants, the athletes that he's attracting, he's going to win Texas. He's still going to continue and dominate in the southeast part of the country too. So, yeah, I mean, there's no looking back with this program. I think absolutely within 5 years, Colorado Buffaloes will win a Big 12 championship.
And you mentioned Deion Sanders. He's a national brand. Now, will Deion be the coach for all five of those years?
Well,
that's my follow-up question.
I think I can say for sure, certainty, that 4 years. We got him for 4 years.
Because all it takes is ring, ring, ring. This is Florida State. Deion, you want to come home?
The buyout, though, I love the buyout. And then I think, you know, Deion is going through some health issues. Yep. Everybody knows about that. But he's going to be approaching 60. He's going to turn 60, like right when his contract is transitioning. And, you know, Shador and all his kids are going to be grown. So, I think this might be it for Prime. Who knows? Who knows what's in the future? I mean, that guy's always reinventing himself.
Yeah.
But would it be a lateral move or would it be a move within college football to another school? I mean, Florida State had a chance to hire him. They didn't. He could have went to Georgia Tech. They didn't hire him. I mean, there's other schools that, you know, even in SEC, there's other schools that could have hired him, but they didn't. CU did, and you know, Deion is committed that way, and I think we got him for at least 4 years, fam. I mean, right. Deep in my heart, I want to believe that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just think back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
If somebody told you Deion Sanders would be the head coach of Colorado Buffalo, I'd be like, excuse me, what the hell just happened?
You know what's crazy? Like, you know what's crazy is the disrespect I got as a player when we won a national championship from the fellas in the league. Like, oh, man, you went to Colorado. Yeah, y'all won a national championship, but y'all couldn't beat teams. Like Miami, y'all couldn't beat this. You couldn't beat. I had to play with Brian and Benny Blades.
Oh,
and
here hurricanes. In Miami. The Hurricanes, right? They be talking.
Yeah, I had to hear all that. I had to hear all this stuff from all those FAMU guys, or Florida State guys, and FAMU for that matter. But all the guys in Florida.
Even FAMU giving y'all noise?
Oh, man, they talked a big game. They talked a big game, right? But they couldn't compete. They were scared of us. Florida State did not want to play us in a Pigskin Classic because Bowden said if we lose, our season's wrecked. But we ended up playing Tennessee to a tie. But no, you know, Colorado did not. It was fascinating, though, as more and more of us got into the league, though, that changed. You know, when you see the presence of the Buffaloes in the National Football League, that changed. But no, Coach Prime is there now, and now they see it. Now they see what was so magical about Boulder, Colorado in that program.
100%. Like for fans who are younger now that don't remember those days, like Colorado was a national powerhouse. We mentioned Pritch, national championship winner at Colorado. Like, just they've had some rough times now, other than a year where they won the Pac-12 South, but Colorado maybe is on the up and up, and Pritch thinks that they'll win the Big 12 coming up in 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
This next one, obviously we talked about in the first hour, Dalvin Cook is in New York. He's going to visit the New York Jets. The New York Jets are the best fit for free agent running back Dalvin Cook. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell no.
I'm going to go with oh, hell yeah again because, you know, this is a contender, I would think. I mean, Aaron Rodgers obviously committed, you know, not to just 1 year. He's committed. And I think when you're Aaron Rodgers, you're committed like this, you only have sights on the Super Bowl. You don't have sights to chasing the playoffs and records and all that. You got all that. You're going to the Hall of Fame. You want a title. And, you know, I think Dalvin Cook can help that from a fit standpoint. And then also to want to be a part of that. You know, I think that can elevate his game. And certainly Aaron Rodgers playing with him is going to elevate his game. He watched Aaron Rodgers for a lot of years, right, across the field. So I think it's a great fit. And if you're the Jets, you got to get it done. You cannot allow Dalvin Cook to leave without him becoming a Jet.
We haven't talked about this next team in a couple of shows, it feels like, but the Jacksonville Jaguars obviously acquired Calvin Ridley, during last season while he was suspended. Now, this was always going to be like kind of like their coup, almost like we forgot about it. Now he's been reinstated. He is good to go for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But here's a quote from Ridley talking to reporters on Wednesday. He said, quote, "Right now, I'm more motivated than ever and ready to get back whatever I lost. I'm around a bunch of great teammates, great coaches, a great facility. I feel the energy. I just want to continue to build and build and build. I love football, man. I'm not here just for the money and all that. I'm here because I love football." So Calvin Ridley will go over his receiving prop of 900.5 receiving yards in his first year with the Jaguars. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell no.
I mean, I want to give it an oh, hell yeah, but I'm leaning towards hell no because of who else is on that offense, right? And and certainly you got ATN, you got Ingram, you got Trevor, who's an option running the football, running the rock. I mean, you got Christian Kirk, who I think coming off 1,100 yards is a dominant player. I mean, you got Zay Jones, who can get deep. You know, they have, if you look at their roster and compare it to other young rosters in the National Football League, I mean, it is pretty good. Like, and now you throw in Calvin Ridley, but you're asking him off a year of suspension to kind of pick up where he left off, even though before the injuries, right? We're going about really young Calvin Ridley. And he's got to avoid the injury, right? Yep. And so that has plagued him a little bit. That's why I don't want to be so strong and say, oh, hell no. I don't want to do that because I think he's capable. But I'm going to lean towards no and leave the oh, hell out of it. But no, that's going to be difficult, especially with all the other weapons that are on this team already.
So he's only gone over 900.5 yards once in his career. Mm-hmm. However, the last time he did it was 2020, the year that he was healthy. He played 15 games that season, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns with the Atlanta Falcons. But he also was targeted 143 times. To your point, maybe Jacksonville has more weapons around him where they don't have to force feed him the ball. Mm-hmm. But the early raves and reviews out of camp are, man, like, he's been out there balling. But it's just camp.
Yeah.
You don't want to read too much into it. It's just camp. But people out there in Duval are excited about Ridley.
Yeah, there's a lot of camp All-Americans for me.
Man.
there's a lot of training camp All-Americans.
Tis the season for the camp All-Stars. Yeah. And the lights turn on and it's like, what happened to so-and-so?
Mm-hmm. Man, no, I thought they were All-American. What happened? What's going on there?
The Cowboys have had a few where I'm just like, oh, I'm excited about this guy. And it's just like, bro, he don't even play. It's training camp. We don't want to read too much into it, but it's always an exciting time. And they're excited down there in Duval County. On the other side, Ben Brown, betting and data analyst at Pro Football Focus, joins us next here on the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL betting guide is out now, and our college football guide drops next week. Get previews and predictions for every Division I team and conference, best bets on futures and season win totals, plus an in-depth breakdown of how you can use our betting splits and power rankings to make you a smarter better this season. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl at an early bird discount of $175. Or sign up on a monthly subscription and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Remember, this offer ends July 31st. That's 3 days away. So don't miss out on these preseason deals. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of these special offers and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. It's the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Mike Prichard. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now to talk all things NFL, we bring on Ben Brown, PFF data and betting analyst over there at Pro Football Focus. Ben, we appreciate you taking the time. I spoke with you yesterday, so long time no see, buddy. But let's get into actually some week one games because we're talking during the break, and it looks like you have some week one angles. Never too early to try to get ahead of the market. And, of course, we've been discussing Jalen Ramsey, his injury. Mike McDaniel came out and said it doesn't look likely that Ramsey will be available early on in the season. So how are you planning to attack Dolphins Chargers coming up week one, about 6 weeks away?
Yeah, definitely. I think we kind of talked on this yesterday even a little bit. Would this number kind of move out to -3 for the Los Angeles Chargers? I do think it is going to. So if you are looking for a spread number right now, I very much think the Chargers are the correct side. But to me, You know, offensively, I expect the Miami Dolphins to kind of take another step forward. The continuity aspect of what they had last season with Tua kind of in the fold, I think, is setting them up to be, you know, one of, if not the most explosive offenses in football. So the total moved, I think, a little bit, like a half point from 49.5 up to 50, basically, on that Jalen Ramsey injury situation. I think this is going to be, you know, a sky-high total. I think it's going to be a shootout-type game. We have seen and heard reports about Quentin Johnson kind of being this really intriguing downfield threat for the Los Angeles Chargers right away. So I think we're going to see some explosive plays. And when that happens, I think the over 50 is probably going to fall relatively quickly. So I like the over 50 in that game as well. And I think if you are taking a side, you know, the Chargers -2.5 is very much a spot. But my favorite bet, I would say, you know, kind of coming out of the Jalen Ramsey injury situation, one I mentioned to you yesterday, Femi, is, you know, Tua Tagovailoa +22 to 1, basically, to lead the league in passing yards. I just think this is an offense that, you know, very much is going to cater to his strengths. And when it does, high yards after the catch, he's going to be putting up, I would say, 300-yard type games every single week. I very much think that he is going to be in the thick of it. And Price is like the ninth best option right now. I think that's just a little bit too short for him. So I do think over, you know, him to go over win or have the most passing yards up 22-1 is probably one of my strongest plays, I would say, coming out of this Jalen Ramsey injury.
I know what I love about VSiN is we get to pick the brain of people like Ben. And I certainly we're in within that window, Ben, of week one. And certainly we're looking for key numbers or developments. Joe Burrow, we'll see what happens with his calf and all that. But then also you throw in the other element about these divisional games to start the year, right? I mean, approaching week one in general, like I said, we're within that window. Any advice for bettors out there?
Definitely. I mean, to me, like the things that kind of go, you know, the things that we're not really paying as close attention to now that we have numbers and we have games and we have the schedule and all that is really, to me, the continuity aspects of some of these teams. And I do think that, especially in the early weeks of the season, like catering to those situations that do have the continuity, not only at the head coach and that and at the quarterback position and along the offensive line, but also the offensive and defensive coordinators and having some semblance of direction and ability to kind of build on where they were at last season. So I'm very much kind of trying to target teams that still have that in place and kind of fade teams that maybe had a really intriguing, you know, offseason acquisition, especially at the quarterback position. But the game that I am very much circling because of that, you know, thought process, I would say is probably the marquee game of week one, Bills, Jets, Monday Night Football. Like you said, Mike, division rivalry type game that could very much be, you know, indicative of where the AFC East kind of falls right away out of the gate. But I think we're going to see the Bills kind of hit the ground running. And I think projecting out this New York Jets team, like the high end range could very much end up there, but it's going to be really difficult to see that all come together so quickly in week one coming out of training camp. So with the new addition at quarterback with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of new key pieces at the, you know, wide receiver position and everything else, I very much think this is a spot where the Bills should have the upper hand. They are slight favorites on the road right now, but I very much think this should probably be closer to like a 3-point spread as opposed to a -1.5 spread. So I very much like, I would say, the Bills, you know, as road favorites here in week one to very much, I would say, take it to the New York Jets.
Yeah, we're speaking with Ben Brown, betting and data analyst over at Pro Football Focus, talking all things NFL. Well, Ben, let's get to some of these regular season win totals. Earlier this week, we saw the news that Brock Purdy has been cleared for training camp practice. I was anticipating maybe Purdy coming back middle of training camp. Sounds like he's ahead of schedule with that elbow injury, coming back off of the injury that he suffered in the NFC title game. But do you think that this now provides certainty for the San Francisco, or do you still have some concerns about this team long term, at least for this season?
Yeah, I very much still have some concerns, I would say. I know, you know, it might not be as justified with the latest, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, injury news kind of coming to the forefront, but this is still a team that, you know, it is very dependent on, I would say, Kyle Shanahan to scheme open a ton of receivers. You know, we saw Brock Purdy very much kind of flash as a rookie, but, you know, the what we know about him, I would say, is still very much uncertain. So the fact that he is still going to be dealing with an elbow injury, maybe won't be 100% at the start of training camp, even if he is kind of throwing some, like, all that kind of speaks to, you know, I would say a difficult starting point for the San Francisco 49ers. And I also think, you know, looking at the division, you know, the NFC West, obviously the Arizona Cardinals are kind of going to be a throwaway team or a team that very much is going to be bottoming out in 2023. But I think the Rams could at least be okay, you know, to slightly good. And I do think the Seahawks are maybe one of the more intriguing upside type teams coming out of the NFC. And then you have the San Francisco 49ers, who didn't really add anybody, didn't really have a ton of, you know, changes happening outside of just the question marks that continue to happen at the quarterback position. But I still think this is a team that, you know, kind of exceeded expectations last year with a quarterback that very much exceeded expectations. And I do think some regression is in order. And I very much think, given the, you know, somewhat difficult schedule that they're going to be having here, I think it's a tall task for them to get over 10.5 wins. So I'm playing under 10.5. I think it's a plus price right now to go under that number. I just really need to see a little bit more, I would say, from Brock Purdy in this offense fully healthy before I would not be, I would say, trying to actively fade this team coming out of the NFC West.
You know, Ben, an intriguing bet that you sent over is it involves Kansas City Chiefs Isaiah Pacheco over 775 rushing yards. I am intrigued by this one because I'm thinking Kansas City will evolve again, but they will platoon their running backs. I mean, they're going to have McKinnon back, certainly. Edwards-Helaire is going to be back. So is your analysis suggesting that Isaiah Pacheco is really just going to be the bell cow for that team moving forward?
I think he really is. I mean, we've obviously seen CEH and, you know, the high draft pick and everything else, but very much I would say, you know, it is going to be running second fiddle to Isaiah Pacheco. And I do think it's, you know, pretty clear Jerick McKinnon probably going to be the long down and distance back and the third down back, but early down carries from him, I just don't really see projecting all that much in this offense. So, you know, we saw Isaiah Pacheco have a ton of success, you know, coming on, finally starting in week 9, did go over this prop number last year as well as a rookie. And I think he's going to get even more, I would say, of the team rush attempt shares, especially on early down, because he very much, I would say, kind of flashed an ability that, you know, has been non-existent for Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the NFL level. So I do think if he's not going to be, you know, the bell cow back, I think he's very much going to be dominating at least the first and second down carries, and then very much kind of salting away some of these victories for this Kansas City Chiefs team that has, you know, the highest win total expectation from the betting market at this point. So I think there's just going to be a ton of opportunity from a pure volume perspective. You know, the Chiefs had one of the highest pass run splits in football last season, but if they are, you know, kind of blowing out some of these teams, especially early on, I very much think it's going to be Pacheco kind of salting away those games. So I like what he did from, you know, a yards after contact perspective, according to PFF. And I very much think, you know, he's set up to pretty easily, I would say, potentially clear this number given, you know, a decent amount of volume projection, I would say.
Ben, we got about 45 seconds left here. Obviously, it's a new day for the Washington Commanders. Josh Harris has officially taken over as the majority owner from Daniel Snyder. But on the field, are you buying into Ron Rivera, Eric Bieniemy, Sam Howell, and the Washington Commanders?
I am. I think they're an intriguing team. You know, it's tough to see them really challenge for the NFC East, but I think we're going to see some pretty marked progression from Sam Howell in his second season. I do think Eric Bieniemy is in a lot of ways the perfect guy to kind of unlock some of that. And they very much, I would say, have some intriguing pieces at the wide receiver position. You know, Terry McLaurin, obviously everyone knows, you know, probably one of the more underrated wide receivers in football right now. But I would say Jahan Dotson kind of flashed as a rookie as well. And they both, I would say, very much kind of fit this gap of what Sam Howell needs from an intermediate route perspective, and can also, I would say, win, you know, at the highest levels of the football field. So I like them where they're at offensively, and I very much think defensively, you know, they could have a top five unit in football. So I think they're going to be competitive week in and week out, and I very much think they're probably going to go over their win total and could easily challenge for one of those wild card bursts come playoff time here.
I love it. I agree with that. I think the Commanders are much better than people think. He is Ben Brown, betting and data analyst over at Pro Football Focus. Ben, we appreciate the time, man. Be well. We'll talk soon, and good luck with the bets.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Awesome stuff there from Ben. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip. and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line, coming to you from the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. It's been a fun show here. Thank you to our guests, Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Then thank you to Ben Brown, betting and data analyst at Pro Football Focus. We appreciate both of them joining us here on the program. But Pritch, before we continue further, let's go out and give out our pro tip for the day. And this is courtesy of Ben Brown over at PFF. And he was kind of playing this angle as it pertains to Monday Night Football Week 1, Bills at the Jets. But early in the season, he made the point that maybe look towards playing on teams that have continuity, teams that have stable head coach, stable coordinator, stable quarterback, because early on in the season, they might have the upper hand versus teams that have kind of made a lot of those changes at key spots.
Yeah, Femi, I can confirm that, because in the building, that's one of the main goals for any organization is how can we stay consistent? How can we get consistency in our program or with our players? Okay, can we have continuity? And can we have familiarity? All that stuff. So that is paramount. I think continuity is everything. And, you know, in particular, too, when you think about divisional games, Monday Night Football and all this, the spotlight, who's going to be able to handle that? Who's going to settle down? Who's going to be more comfortable? And teams with continuity seem to establish that and certainly implement and get into their game plan and execute it the way that they need to. Whereas if you have issues, can you iron them out? Do you have enough familiarity? Do you know the nuances of each other to be able to iron that out? I will say the reason why Aaron Rodgers is with the Jets, though, is because of continuity with Hackett.
Yeah.
You know, now does that translate into what the continuity aspect for the Buffalo Bills from a player standpoint? They do have all that. Now, McDermott's going to be calling defense, though. So that's new, right? Now, offensively, yeah, the Bills should be hitting the ground running, especially with the personnel that they have, and they're a pass-happy team. They don't have to really worry about being physical. But that Jets team, though, and that Jets defense, and if there is continuity established on the offensive side of the ball, that game gets very, very interesting to me.
100%. And I think, too, with the Jets, it's more so, like, obviously you have the continuity between Rodgers and Hackett, but I guess the surrounding pieces, right. How comfortable are they with this Hackett offense?
Because
it probably has some similarities to what they did with Mike LaFleur last season, but I'm sure there's a little bit, some differences at least. Maybe it's some language stuff that's a little bit different than what they're used to. But I always worry about those teams that do kind of make those big changes, because I think back to the Buccaneers in 2020 with Tom Brady.
Right.
About, hey, like, yeah, we could all see the ceiling. And I think even watching that game against New Orleans, I think Tampa has like the ceiling that we all think, but they're just trying to work some things out, which is hard to do until you actually get thrown into the line of fire.
Right. It's about execution. Like you can have a game plan, and the game plan could be great. You know, Hackett and Aaron could have a great game plan, and all of a sudden, okay, Buffalo might have an answer for that. Now, what do you adjust to, and how comfortable are you adjusting to what you need to get to? And so are the other players, the nuances, are the players ready for that too, right? And that can derail you. That can slow you down. The advantages would absolutely 1,000% go to Buffalo, though.
100%. Yeah. Well, that is our pro tip for the day. You can check out all of our pro tips over at VSiN.com/tips. You get one from each and every show. Well, let's stay in the Big Apple. Talk New York Giants, because I was left scratching my head when I saw this earlier this week. Saquon Barkley agreeing to a one-year contract, because this typically doesn't happen for franchise tag players. Once the deadline passes to sign the long-term extension, you usually see them just play out on the tag and then they figure it out the next year. But Saquon and the Giants came to an agreement on a one-year contract, because you can sign a one-year deal, it just can't be a multi-year deal. And this contract will allow Saquon to earn up to $11 million, but to get that extra million, he has to hit some incentives that are benchmarks that he has not yet hit as a player. Plus, the Giants have to make the playoffs. So essentially, what Saquon did was he got his $2 million signing bonus, which was taken out of the already guaranteed $10 million. So now it's an $8 million base, $2 million signing bonus that he got up close in front. I don't understand it, Pritch. I figured I was like, just skip training camp, sign the tender, and then go ahead and just play once the season starts and collect your game checks. Apparently Saquon needed $2 million in cash right now. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know him personally. But as a player, I mean, you see this, and the takeaway for me at least is I feel like you just caved and needed the money. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, the running backs, they wanted to take this stance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But true to form, in the National Football League, the players cave. It's not like what it used to be. I mean, I and it's different. I mean, does Saquon or Josh Jacobs or the players today with the new CBA through 2030, what kind of leverage do they have against the franchise tag? They don't have any leverage against it. So I get it. I understand it. It's the catch 22 for them because nobody wants to play on a 1-year contract, especially in your prime. Mm-hmm. You want the security of knowing that you got 4 years. You know, you don't have 1 year, and if something happens, that could be it, right? So it's unfortunate that the running backs are going through this, but if you are wanting to change it, if you are trying to take a stand, then stand, dig your heels in, right? But caving or epiphany, I think he called it.
Well, yeah, let's play the soundbite. Here's okay. Because we're both confused about what the hell he was doing. Here's what Saquon decided to do and why he decided to go ahead and sign the contract with the Giants.
I had an epiphany.
What's up?
No, the reality of it is, I mean, one, I kind of just followed my heart. Obviously, I heard what everyone was saying in the news or social media, but I kind of just followed my heart. And then, you know, you got to look at it as a business point. From a business view, I felt like what's the best thing that I can do? And some people may agree or disagree with this. And, you know, to sit out or sit in. And I feel like for this year specifically, the best thing that I can do for myself would be coming back, going out there, play the game that I love, playing for my teammates, doing something I want to do since I was a little kid. And I understand, I know what's going on with the running back situation and me being tagged and the value of the running back continue going down. Only way that I feel like, you know, someone that's going to change, someone got to make a change. And God willing, hopefully I can be one of the people to do it.
Do you have any clarity on his epiphany there, Prince?
Yeah. He felt something upside his head. That's his pride getting tapped. Because you can't do anything. I mean, the epiphany is that it's $10 million right there on the table. You're not going to let that go. But that's what the owners bank on. They bank on the players essentially saying, you know what, I can't pass up that kind of money. And in reality, how do you Le'Veon Bell it out for $10 million? How do you do that? You don't. No. If anything, you go out there and you have a great year and then – you try to get a clause in your contract, like I think Saquon and certainly others want, to where you can't franchise tag me. But we saw who went through that. Dak Prescott went through franchise tags. Kirk Cousins went through franchise tags. You know, certain players on their way to getting that bag, they have to go through the franchise tag process. And if anything, and it was unfortunate for Saquon because he had the ACL, but he should have went up there asking for more money prior to being elevated with the fifth-year option. That's where you get trapped, and that's where that process starts, where the team has absolute control over your future.
Yeah, I left scratching my head because, like, I don't think Saquon really got anything out of this one-year deal other than $2 million right now, which you can't scoff at that. Like, if somebody said, hey, Femi, here's $2 million, I'd be like, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and Saquon, he got that in the signing bonus, but he didn't get the no franchise tag. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a no trade clause. Like, he didn't get more money other than needing to hit some astronomical incentives,
right,
plus the Giants making the playoffs while he hit those incentives. Like, that extra $1 million that he might be able to earn, it seems unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, all you did was you just got $2 million. You got like 4 weeks of game checks right now versus just waiting a month into the season to get that money.
Yeah, you wonder if Josh Jacobs has the leverage because the system. And what New England wants to do, or New England West, or what Ziegler and Josh McDaniels wants to do, is they want running back by committee. So why are you going to franchise Josh again? So if you're Josh Jacobs, go in there and say, look, I don't want to be franchise tag. I'll show up.
And then there's Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. Watch out for that situation as well. That does it for us. For Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Abebefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. VSiN Best Bets is coming up next.